Well, thank you for inviting us here again. It's been lovely. It's a kind of a September treat now. I think this is the third September in a row we've been here. And we love it, and for many reasons, partly because you're so lovely, but partly because it's great to be in another church that has a passion for seeing God change things in the town you're in, but also beyond that and across the county. And it's lovely because we were birthed, the church called Threshold We Lead, was birthed with a vision for the whole of Lincolnshire. Not that we have to kind of conquer all of Lincolnshire, but we, with other churches, are trying to see how we can cooperate with God to bring in his kingdom there. And we've been at it 25 years, I think, in Lincolnshire now. And 25 years in Threshold, been in Lincolnshire longer. But it's lovely to find another church that has a similar heart for a place, but the place is beyond the place, you know, for Carl and Chippenham, but for Wiltshire as well. And as Rolf was praying earlier on about, you know, having a perspective from up there, that's kind of what I want to talk about this morning, is the bigger picture, and help you understand perhaps a little bit more of what we're learning, just as we learn from you. Now, I want to start in Isaiah 43, believe it or not. And I just want to read a short bit from Isaiah 43, then Isaiah 44, a few verses as well. And I'm starting from Isaiah 43, verse 16. This is what the Lord says, "He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the desert and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I form for myself, that they may proclaim my praise." Then Isaiah 44, first few verses. "But now listen, O Jacob, my servant, Israel, whom I have chosen. This is what the Lord says, he who made you, who formed you in the womb, and who will help you. Do not be afraid, O Jacob, my servant, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. They will spring up like grass in a meadow, like poplar trees by flowing streams. One will say, I belong to the Lord, and another will call himself by the name of Jacob. Still another will write on his hand, the Lord's, and will take the name Israel." So Isaiah is, there's an amazing, you know, Isaiah being that incredible prophet, what he says seems to work out in different generations in different ways, like windows in time. But at the time when he was first speaking these words, most of God's people, Israel, were in trouble. They were in exile. And he's speaking of a time when the exile will finish and when God will make a way back home for them. And the desert they have to cross will be much more hospitable than they are fearing. And when they get home, the land will be transformed. It will be transformed by rivers and planting and will become green and lush like it isn't as they're thinking of it at the time. So he begins to say their punishment is finished now. They've come a time when God has done all he chose to do to kind of correct their idolatry and try to get them away from worshipping other gods. Now they're focused on him. He's saying, that's over, we can go home. Now, Babylon, where they were held captive, would eventually fall, but before then they were encouraged to return back to Israel, and many did with Ezra and Nehemiah a bit later on. And just like God's power was demonstrated in the escape from Egypt, hence the allusion to the chariots and horses and the reinforcements being snuffed out like a wick, so God's power again would work on their behalf and help them to return to a place that was full of water, full of life, full of plenty. So he says, forget the former things, forget the things of the past, forget your memories of Israel, forget your memories of Babylon, forget the kind of the doom and the despondency, forget the pain you remembered and the screaming as people were dragged away, forget the chains, forget the starvation, forget the dying of thirst. That's all gone. There's something new now happening, and I want you to embrace that and walk into this new thing. There is a way home to a land that will be transformed. And there will be streams in the desert, and there will be greenery, there'll be grass there again. And when you get to chapter 44, it's clear that this streams in the desert, this water, is none other than his Holy Spirit being poured out. And that as a result, people will call themselves by the name of the Lord. That as the Holy Spirit is poured out, then individuals begin to say, okay, I am committed to the Lord again. I will follow him again. They'll write it on their hands and in their hearts. So it's a wonderful promise. The exile is over. The land is changed forever. And God's people are restored. I've heard much over recent years about the church being in exile in the UK. There's this sense that we're in a place where we're not in control anymore, where we're in a foreign land, where it's nothing like what we once experienced or dreamed of. And there's a sense of we've just got to kind of build houses and do our best in this land of exile. But I'm not sure that's where we are now. I'm not sure that's where God sees us anymore. I think he's saying, come on, walk out of exile. If you go on to chapter 48, it says to the Israelites, flee Babylon, come out of her. There's a choice. They can make a move. They are free now to go. And as you read through the scriptures, you understand that we don't have to stay in captivity because of what Jesus has done spiritually. So I think the church is the time to wake up and to begin to walk more into the inheritance that we have, back into the promised land. We don't have to stay in exile. It's over. The land has changed, and God's people can be restored. So do you see a new thing happening that gives a promise of this possibility? Do you see things beginning to happen around you or in this area? Really fascinating. You've been asking the question, where have you seen God at work? Was that for this week or was it the whole season? I don't know.
Whole season,
which is fabulous. It's such a key question to ask. And as Dave said, Kath and I have been involved in Fresh Expressions for the last 12, 15 years. And across the UK, there are between 4,000 and 5,000 Fresh Expressions of Church now, which have begun. It's not minimal. There's lots of things happening. And there's a lot more investment going into it. There's a lot more focus on it now. So new ways of doing church. Much less congregational like this, although this is valuable. But alongside that, other ways of doing church. And you've heard of some of them like Cafe Church and Messy Church and various things. But there's loads and loads of different contextual ways of church now beginning, which brings life to people that won't go near a traditional church, won't go near a traditional congregation, or even a new congregation like yours or ours. And that's a sign of life for me. There's some fantastic stuff happening. Even the dear Church of England have set a target that they will have 6,000 pioneers deployed by the year 2025, of which 5,000 will not be ordained and 1,000 will be. The Methodist Church has got similar plans, so has the URC, although it's much smaller. So all across the country, the main denominations are saying we need to start new communities of faith, and they don't have to look like what the other ones already do look like. They will be completely different. A new thing is happening, and people are coming to faith, and people are being baptized, and people are growing in the faith. And it's not just in Fresh Expressions. I know there are other moves that God is making in his church which are bringing some wonderful things about, much bigger things as well in different places. But the Fresh Expressions thing to me is a picture of new life bubbling up all over the place. And I think we need to take our part in that because it's something I believe God is doing. The new churches, the new communities that are beginning are shaped by the context they're in. They're not... It's a classical, proper missionary enterprise where they say, well, what is God doing here that we can shape the way he wants it to be? Because that's the kind of church that will work in this place. So an example would be for us, we've mentioned it before, in the village we've moved to, there were two monasteries in the past. One in the 7th century, it was begun for 200 years, and one in the 11th century, which lasted for 400 years, 500 years, 450. There's a long history of monasticism in the village where we live. So we felt led by God to start another prayer community. We're not calling it a monastery, but a prayer community. We're resonating with the past. It's coming back up, if you like. What's the equivalent in the villages, in the towns, in the urban places where you find yourself? There must be some. It doesn't have to be resonant with history, it has to be what God asks you to do. So we need loads of churches, loads of Christian communities, including in towns like Chippenham and Calne, which are going to just change the landscape. Not separate necessarily to the churches that are already here, part of who you are, but which will form a different way of doing church that people can relate to, which is much more about doing life together. It's authentic in their view, not that this isn't. There'll be places where people worship and pray and engage with the community around them and look outwards and be a community in themselves. And those places are really important. I'll show you some examples in a bit. So we need thousands of these alongside what's already there, what's already here. Not just congregations, but people doing life together in congregations and beyond. Okay, Now, we've been doing something like this for about 10 years, 9 years since Kath and I moved to Bardney. And recently, God has given us a kind of a picture of what he thinks we're doing, which is really helpful. And it's taken from the more natural world. We have a leader in our church in Threshold. He and his wife have now come alongside Kath and I to help lead. And the other day, he did a video. And I thought I'd show it you because it actually helps us understand what's going on, and I hope it helps you understand. We're in a very rural context. I know in the towns of Chippenham and Carn, it is in a rural setting, but they're towns, but this stuff still works in towns. So have a look at this video, see what you think. It's 8 minutes long.
All across the UK, more and more land is being given back to nature. Farmers are putting away their ploughs, gardeners are putting away their mowers, and just letting nature do what nature does best. This is an approach to nature conservation which is often called wilding or rewilding. And essentially it's a passive way of managing the landscape. You take your hands off, you go with nature. Essentially it's a way of restoring habitats, a way of expanding ecosystems, and a way of allowing nature to return. Kind of struck me, what if we did this to the church? What if we rewilded the church? What if we took our hands off and instead of absorbing people in centralized programs, instead orientated them the other way around and say, what does God want for you in your local context? What has he created you to be? What passions has he put in your heart? How does he want to use you to connect with those who don't know Jesus? Maybe it's time to rewild the church. There are loads of great examples of wilding that you can find on your doorstep. I'm here in Watts Wood, which is in Lincolnshire, and not many years ago, the landscape used to look like this, really heavily ploughed agricultural land. And then after a few years, it started to grow. People let nature do what nature wants to do. There was an intentional planting as well. People put things in, pioneer species which would help accelerate the process. And of course, what also happened was that seeds blew in and took root and grew. And I think this is a great parallel for the church, the wilded church. If we let our hands go, that we allow God to do what he wants to do, that we encourage everyone to join in with his mission, we'll see all sorts of expressions of church emerge. We'll see things that have been dormant in the ground for a long time flourish. We'll see things intentionally planted, and we'll also see the Holy Spirit blowing new seed into our areas, new people, new communities, and new cultures. What does the wilded church look like? Well, I think the wilded church is a place that gives room intentionally for seeds to grow. It's a place where you allow every species to flourish according to how it was created to be. It's a space where you allow artists to be artists and attract other artists. It's a space where you allow potters to do what they do best and attract other potters. It's a space where different forms of contextual church emerge. But as leadership, we don't predict or necessarily control the shape that they emerge in. We oversee them, we make sure that they're spiritually healthy, but we allow them to flourish in the way that is best going to spread the kingdom of God. 2,500 years ago, the Israelites were in captivity in Babylon, and among them was a prophet by the name of Isaiah. And one day God spoke to him, gave him a vision, and said to him, go and speak to your people and reassure them. And in Isaiah 41, we read of that. God said, the poor and needy search for water, but there is none. Their tongues are parched with thirst, but I, the Lord, will answer them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will make rivers flow on barren heights and springs within the valleys. I'll turn the desert into pools of water and the parched ground into springs. I'll put in the desert the cedar and the acacia, the myrtle and the olive. I'll set junipers in the wasteland, the fir and the cypress together, so that people may see and know, may consider and understand that the hand of the Lord has done this, that the Holy One of Israel has created it. What we see in that scripture is the return of wildlife, the return of life to landscapes that have been barren for such a long time. And this whole concept of wilding just gives us a lens through which we can understand how the church could be today. You know, we want to see our villages and our communities restored. We want to see living water flowing through them. And we're not going to do that just on Sunday mornings. It's going to take a whole load of creator-driven expressions of contextual church. And it all starts with each and every one of us lifting our hands in prayer and just asking God, God, what are you up to in my context? Why have you put me here? What is it that you wanted me to join in with? When you wild the church, not only do you see new things emerge, but occasionally you also see ancient things. Ancient ways in which people through many generations have been praying and worshipping God and petitioning him for their local communities. Sometimes these things can give us inspiration as to how we too can engage with everything from commerce right the way through to healthcare, and ways in which we can set healthy daily rhythms of prayer and worship in and for our communities. How do you wild a church? Well, I really think it all starts in prayer. Gather people from your community or your village, or it might be your local context. You know, gather your musicians, your artists, your potters, whatever it might be, and just get them together and pray. And it might be helpful to pray in four different ways. First of all, pray up. Just thank God for who he is, for his character, for his nature. Thank him for Jesus. Thank you for his forgiveness over your life, for his daily provision, for his care. Thank him for friends and family and all the good things in your lives. And then secondly, pray outwards. Pray for your context and your community, for your schools, for your libraries, for your doctor surgeries, whatever it might be. Just give thanks for them and ask God to bless them. And then thirdly, pray for each other. Pray for all of the stuff that needs dealing with. Pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Pray to be full of his life and his vision. And then fourthly, just ask God some questions. God, what are you doing in my context, in my community, and how can I join in?
Thank you. That's our Adam. He's a good lad, as is his wife. You can find that on YouTube or look at our Threshold. Our church is called Threshold, Threshold Facebook page. You can find it there if you want to, or get it from Dave. Okay, thank you. It's a picture that helps us. It's not the same as the scriptures, but it's a picture that helps us understand what we're doing, what we believe God is doing in bringing up so many different forms of church life now that are life-giving to the places around them. But I thought it might be useful to kind of show you what it's meant for us in practice and what kind of communities are beginning to emerge where we are. So if Isabella, you could switch to the PowerPoint, which she's done already. Now, don't you think that's a good, I took that photo. Isn't that amazing? That's on Lindisfarne, and it's springing just for you. No, not really. So I managed to unintentionally trap a deer by a stone, dry stone wall. They went running around me, and I got my camera and went, and one of them worked, which was that one.
Isn't it?
It's fabulous, yeah. But it's pertinent to what we're talking about. In the rewilding process, they'll talk about the conservation people, naturalists, will talk about reintroducing keystone species. And I think that works in the spiritual as well. We need a lot more of people we've missed for a long, long time, for decades or centuries. Those with apostolic and prophetic gifting particularly, we need to reintroduce to the life of the church. But that's a whole other story. Right, next slide please, Isabella. I just want to say this, that when we are looking at starting new communities and doing stuff around us, our pattern is well recorded for us in the Acts of the Apostles. Now, I showed you this last year, I'm not going to go back through it all again. But in terms of, sorry? Yeah, I'm just going to read it. So in terms of wilding or rewilding, in the conservation scene, one of the issues is they don't know how far back to go. So do they try and recreate what the countryside was like pre-war, before we ploughed up thousands and thousands and thousands of hectares to feed the nation, which we had to do at the time? Or do you go back to before the Industrial Revolution, when there was lots of things like beavers and nightingales and turtle doves and things which we've lost? Or do you go back to, you know, several thousand years ago, where there were aurochs and bears and, you know, so how far back do you go? And that's a matter for debate. But for the church, we don't have the problem. We have a wonderfully well-recorded view of what the church was like when it first began in the Acts of the Apostles. And the more we can reflect the original, the more healthy we will be. So just one passage, which you know well, from Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the breaking of bread, the fellowship and the prayer, to maintain, this is not scripture, this is me adding this bit, to maintain their encounter with Jesus, which they'd had on that amazing first day of Pentecost, which they never wanted to lose again. They wanted to stay close to him, and they knew this was how they were going to do it. Shall I say, okay, Isabella, each time, or just wave at you? What's the best? Like that, how about that? Okay, fine. So what we wanted to do, we put up here five villages. This works in towns as well as villages, okay? But we're in villages, so the examples we're using are villages. So five villages where, between us, Kath and I will now just talk you through a little bit of what the rewilding process has looked like in each of these villages. We meet every Sunday morning, very like this, in a village hall at the moment. And similar numbers, kids work, youth work, contemporary worship, very similar, and we deliberately keep doing that as a really good way of resourcing people, of being together as a community, for investing in children and young people. That's all very important. But alongside that, we're doing other stuff which is much more effective in mission and in growing as disciples, we think, than just gathering together on a Sunday. And it's those things which we want to describe for you now. But both are important. Remember the Acts 2 picture? They met in the temple courts and in their homes. And for us, the Sunday mornings is equivalent, if you like, of the temple courts. What we're about to describe for you now is other communities springing up around homes particularly. So, do you interrupt first?
I'm allowed to interrupt. This is the official interruption allowing. First of all, please let's just pray for Threshold now, because the lovely place, Watts Wood, that you saw Adam wandering through just a little while ago, we're taking the whole church there this morning to wander through, those who are able to walk there. So we met in a different village hall for coffee and worship. And then we're walking across the fields, and then they're going to be walking through Watts Wood to with a few questions in mind, to actually have a look at that area that Adam was walking through when he was doing the video, and actually see if there's any way that you can spot stuff that's, you know, in natural, and try and interpret that as what God might earth be saying about rewilding the church, whatever that looks like. So it's a big step for the whole church to do. But the worst thing is, we were just dropping off to sleep last night, and the phone pinged, and we've heard that the weather forecast is for thunderstorms. So we're praying that they're actually having a lovely time in Watts Wood today and not being rained on and having thunderstorms around their ear holes. But so that's what they're doing today. But so many of them who are meeting there today and getting wet in Watts Wood, hopefully not, actually come from one of the villages called Nettleham, which is where we live for the 25 years, something like that, which is a much sought-after village. It's a lovely place to be, and beautiful. This is a little beck running right through the centre of it. Lots of people living in lots of lovely houses, cars in the drive. It's a beautiful, it's a bit of a nice, bright, shiny place, but lots and lots of needs, lots of people lonely, lots of people in financial difficulties, lots of people lost, and just like anywhere else, so as usual. So Nettleham's a beautiful village. It's got a hub. I think that's the next photo. So the library closed, like many villages lose its library system. So a lot of the folk locally got together and made it into a community hub, which again is happening all over the country, I think. And lots of different things go in it, in it during the week. In the bottom right-hand corner, the bigger photo in the bottom right-hand corner, is a group of some of our folk from Threshold. So they saw the opportunity. They knew lots of people who were actually really lonely, lots of ladies in particular who were stuck at home and really lonely. And everybody likes a good bit of pamper. So
terrible.
Pete had the delight of a church leader signing off some financial stuff the months ago now to pay for nail varnish remover, massage oils, a whole raft of nail varnish, and some other weird and wonderful things, which he was really...
What is that?
Thinking, what is that to do with? That's because, for the next slide, please, Anne had this image and vision that she believes that God stirred up in her to actually put on a pamper session. So it's all it is. It's literally a pamper session. But she's made it known, and it's known as being a group of Christian ladies getting together to provide a pamper session for an evening, a night, a week. And they know they're Christians, so it's upfront Christian ladies doing this. But actually, it's very, very low key. So they're not, you know, it's not a meeting or anything. They literally provide Indian head massage, which they've actually trained up to do without any of the spiritual side of stuff happening, and do nails and hand and arm massages, and they've just started putting little laminated Bible verses around the place and invited people to take them home with them if they want to. There's always a box on the way out, so if anyone wants anyone and asked to pray for anything, then put your request in there. Really, really, really low key in terms of input of Christian stuff, but is actually already they've been going about almost a year, I think.
Yeah.
And there's a community of ladies, don't come every time, not many, probably around about a dozen or so, and they're already asking if they can meet at different times, not only just when they're having the nails painted, or they're wondering if they can meet between times, because they're realising that this is a community of people who actually care for them. So that's just one example to begin with.
Yeah. And there's also a little extra room where they do mindfulness that they can go in to be part of, where they meditate on the script, on something from the scriptures. And these, yeah, they don't have to, but they mostly do. And then there's the laminated little bits of scripture. They're all gone by the end of the evening. And you have people saying, "That's really good. What book's that from?"
Absolutely, I forgot to say the bit at the beginning, which was the most important bit. I'm so sorry. The underlying all this, they started off years actually ago in just meeting to pray regularly. So in this village, in Nettleham, there's a regular meeting of prayer with lots of different groupings of people at different times, just specifically praying for the village and for the area, for anything that God's doing in the area, for work with the other churches, which they often do. They do. There's a great, huge thing called Carols on the Green, where everybody gets out onto the green in the centre. Lots of things that they work with the other churches right across Nettleham as well. And so all of this has come out of lots and lots of praying over years in different grouping and asking, what's God doing? What's an opportunity that we can take up and do something really simply?
That's great. And there's about 4,000 people in Nettleham, so small town really. It's not a tiny little village, not what you'd call a village, I don't think. Okay, Isabella. This is another village, which is about 5 miles, perhaps a little less actually, two villages, 3 or 4 miles from Nettleham, called Scotland and Sudbrook. And there's a group of people that have started something called The Well, and when nobody's looking, they call it It's Life Gym, because they're saying it's like church, but not really, not as you know it. So they have a regular life of prayer and worship, of Bible study, of communion, of doing life together. And then out of that has come these other initiatives into the two villages and beyond. So, yeah, next one. So they do a lot of family stuff. There's lots of kids with them. So they go out for picnics, go to Sherwood Pines, go to the beach, have bonfires, loads of stuff, which they invite lots of people who don't believe, just their friends, to go with them. Or they do silly things like the Yorkshire Three Peaks, or, you know, the blokes do things that might kill them. It makes them feel better about life, I think. So they do that. Okay, next. And then they've started something called the Patchwork Community Choir. So this is for ladies and blokes. Also meets actually in the hub in Netland, which is only a few miles away. And they found through that lots of people can just take their friends along and, you know, have a good evening singing. And out of that has come other relationships, which has been great. Okay, next. We've also had an interesting thing happen where a young guy said to me, "Pete, can I start virtual reality church?" And I said, "Yeah, sure. What is it?" And so he's kind of inventing it as he goes along. He's a gamer. He's in his 30s, loves gaming, has a headset, loves the whole virtual reality world. I don't know how many of you are familiar with it, because I'm not. Okay, but basically you sit with a box on your head, create your own sort of representation of yourself online. Could be from anywhere in the world. So next slide. And they start meeting in imagined scenes which he's created, and they start having spiritual conversations. Okay, next. So being Ed, he's put his favourite things together. So a big screen on a beach with sofas, okay? So
he's an upholsterer by trade.
Yeah, he's an upholsterer, yeah. Actually, he makes motorbike saddles as well now for fast, very fast bikes, bespoke ones. Anyway, so on the screen, he puts Hillsongs, and then he sits with his avatar mates on these sofas and talks about Jesus. And because they're in the avatar form, they're quite prepared to do that, because you haven't a clue who they are. They could be from anywhere in the world. So he's having these spiritual conversations, introducing people to Jesus, who then have to follow it up back where they are in real life. But he's loving it, and I've said, well, go for it. And I think he's going to create, like, corporate experiences, so they can have a whole bunch of them sitting on sofas and watching the screen. I don't know. I'm going to have to put one of those headsets on one of these days. Okay, next.
They keep threatening you, that, don't they?
Yeah, they do. Oh, he likes bonfires as well. Next. Yeah, so next village.
St. Ballanworth is very different from virtual reality. Tiny little ribbon development along the main A157.
It's not a ribbon, but it's just off the A1. Yeah.
I think it's ribbon development. It's what I was taught by my geography teacher.
Langworth is, you're right.
Langworth, yes. So Langworth is the ribbon development, and Stainton is just by Langworth, which is what it says. So there we go. So in here, again, there's been folk living here for a while that we have really good relationships with the Anglican Church, which is a tiny congregation that's shrinking rapidly. But our folk have met with her and prayed with her. We've done things together with them at Christmas time and at various festivals and so on. But we've got a couple of folk who live in this village. They're both GPs, both doctors, and we've actually showed this photo to you before, I think. So if you'd like to pop with it, so we've showed you that photo before, I think, last year. It's called Biblical Wine Tasting. And their group is called Biblical Wine Tasting. As Pete said, it's a good job that there are wines from the Bible mentions Rome and Italy, because otherwise we're not quite sure how they'd be able to sustain finding different wines each week from biblical places. But they've managed. They've kept going for years now, actually. But they gather not people from Stainton by Langworth, which is where they live, but they are. They're inveterate networkers, and so when the kids were playing rugby, they'd be on the rugby on the side on the lines, and they get to know different people. So the people come into here from lots of different places and different villages, actually, because it's their network that they actually draw together for this. And every other Friday evening, they have a dinner together, which is always beautiful, and they have great fun together, and they actually. This reminded me of dinner church, the things that I've heard about dinner church. So great opportunity to just grab people together and have a lovely meal together, spend some time on a Friday evening. And then they actually afterwards have full-blown Bible studies and worship times, which startled me slightly, because I thought the people who would be keen just to come for a meal would actually be slightly put off by the Bible study and worship session. But actually, it's been working absolutely fine. So again, something that, you know, you might think wouldn't work has worked really brilliantly. And out of this little group, they've run alpha courses a couple of times now with just a handful of people, three or four people of their friends. They've not all ended up by coming to Threshold at all. In fact, from this particular group, they've often gone to other churches when they've become, if they've become Christian, so on. But this little group is a faithful group who they keep gathering people in their area, doing what they do naturally and well, stuff they love to do, and gathering friends who love to do this as well. I think that's it from the next one, please. Yep.
Okay, Bardney, so where we've been now for 9 years. So this is perhaps the most developed of them. And you know some of our circumstance for the last couple of years, but just to run through it to tell you what's been developing since we last saw you. So next slide. Slide, did you hear that? Anyway, so this is our prayer room. So we have a rhythm of prayer. I mentioned earlier about the monastic kind of way of looking at things. We pray in the prayer room every morning on a weekday, and we pray and worship together on a Sunday night, and sometimes in between as well, depending on which week it is and what's going on. So there's an undergirding rhythm of prayer, which is constantly praying for the village, praying for each other, worshiping God and asking him what we should be doing. This is the next slide, just another view of the prayer room. Okay, next one. We started a coffee shop, as I think you know, and the next slide is the one of the inside of it. And all sorts of amazing relationships have developed within the coffee shop. In fact, most of the volunteer staff have now done Alpha with us. Even, you know, we have a mix of those who are Christians and those who are not, who staff the shop. But those who are not and love the community of the shop so much that they wanted to find out what it was all about. So I think about, I don't know, four or five shop staff now have done Alpha with us and are involved in things beyond that. But also people who just come in for having a coffee are fair game. We don't say it's a Christian outfit. There's a little laminated sheet somewhere which will mention it's run by Bardney Christian Community Trust. But other than that, it's just about making relationships with Christians in the place, and it works brilliantly. Okay, next. That shows it works brilliantly. Okay. Well, that's the manager that we baptized one Sunday afternoon, and then she became the manager the next morning. Another different kind of baptism. Yeah. Okay, next. Okay, so this year we've been doing something called Messy Plus. You will have heard of Messy Church. This is a variety of Messy Church, but it's been great for engaging whole families, which is what Messy Church aims to do. And this year we've been building a house in the local Anglican church with the permission of the PCC. I think they would have noticed it if they hadn't given permission. It's about 8 foot long. Anyway, it's but the theme for the year has been about God wanting to make his home in us and us making our home in God. And so what does church look like if you think about it as a home? And so these are people who are just coming to faith and children, so we're then able to chat through what does that mean for them. And so it's been a great theme to follow, and we provide opportunities, especially now, for families to pray within that. And lots of both adults and kids have been engaging in prayer in a way they wouldn't do in an ordinary messy church usually. That's been really good for us. Okay, next. Oh, that's more of the building the house. Next. Okay, we do a monthly thing called a community, and this is the one we did in the park because it was, the weather was great. Usually it's in our house, but it's always about 40 something people now, and it's always a mix of those who believe and those who don't, about half and half, and loads of kids. And it's a great sort of social occasion just to get to know people. The only religious thing that happens is an occasional grace, okay? Nothing else, but it's been a wonderful place from which to invite people to other things that we're doing. Okay, next. And then we started something now called the Filling Station, which you can find online. It's a national organisation, but it's designed to refresh those who are in otherwise fairly staid church situations in rural areas. And they can come once a month for a bit of a knees up, to be honest, with a contemporary band and with good preaching and opportunity for prayer. And all those things together have developed the community that we're in considerably. It's been great.
We haven't talked about that actually. So one of the keys to it all is that people are doing things that actually they love doing. So it's not having to make an effort to learn something different or do something different or layer another layer of activity on top of an already crazy busy family or ordinary timetable. So Mary in Bardney, which we've not mentioned either, she's really creative, loves to read, so she started a book club, which is just a very normal, easy thing for her to do. They meet in the coffee shop once a month. Out of that, she started a toddler's, Toddler Tales, a book club for tinies, and also is just starting gathering some painters together. But that's stuff that she can do because it's what she loves to do. It's what she would normally do anyway. She's just decided intentionally to make that into something that where they could, she could gather some other people around her too and naturally talk about Jesus. Nothing sort of planned or scripted, but it's something that she loves to do, and so she can easily do in that place.
I think you're on who's next.
Sorry. Next. Yeah. So Welton. Welton's the village where we... it's quite a big village. It's probably about 5,000 people, I think.
Well, between Welton and Dunham, it's 7,000.
Okay, so Welton, the village next door.
It's a town,
yeah.
Really. But,
yeah. Yeah, so good big size, you know, lots going on there. If you'd like to... Next one, please. We've had people in Welton, and we've actually met as a church in Welton for... 12, 15 years in one place or another. So lots and lots and lots of people we're in contact with. Really good relationships with the Anglican Church and the Methodist Church in Welton. They pray together regularly, the folk who live in Welton. Again, arrange things at Christmas time and festivals times together and look after each other together as a church right across the area. Lots and lots of interest groups have been going on for years. So people love walking, have been started walking groups, and there's been reading groups. There's been a pub quiz which always wins all the prizes and annoys everybody madly. All sorts of interest groups have been going on for ages, and then this couple, Alan and Anne, decided that they'd got lots of friends from all these different groups and different things they were doing, but they wanted to take it a step further and didn't know how to gather them all together, and suddenly decided, well, why don't we just have a meal in our house? Again, a bit like the dinner church. So they have a meal where they organise everyone to bring a little bit. They have a theme every month. They're doing it once a month at the moment to see how it goes, and they have a waiting list. So they put it out on Facebook or wherever, and people literally have to book like that day or the next day, otherwise the places are gone. So they just have enough room to put on their table, plus a door and a trestle that they extend their table with. So they get a longer table and just meet with their friends just over a meal. And out of that, again, without them having to do anything formal, as it were, as they're leaving, people, Anne often says, as we're going out the door, someone will, you know, pull me aside and say, would you mind, we've got some difficult situation, would you mind having a word for us about our son who's just about to go and do something? Or you know, Auntie Mabel's sat in hospital, could you have a little word for us about that? So they're already asking them to pray. Things are coming from the people that they've been inviting there. And it's been a very easy thing for them to do. It's not another whole layer of complication for them.
And Alpha starts tomorrow.
Alpha starts tomorrow. They've got from this group again. Mm. They've got one lady, I
one
think,
from
coming
there,
from
yeah.
this group,
and three from other
and
places.
Three from other around Welton, actually meeting for a little tiny Alpha in their home starting tomorrow night. Next, please.
That's it. Oh yeah, right. Okay.
A little bit.
Oh, thank you. So Adam finished his video by talking about that it all begins in prayer. So, you know, I guess the question in my mind is, what would Wiltshire look like if the church was rewilded? What would actually happen if all over the place these things started springing up? Probably connected to existing churches for reasons of resourcing and oversight and connectivity. What could it look like, and what would our part be in that? Wanted to finish with this, is where I started last year, which is, it really does begin in prayer and in those different directions. So upwards towards God, putting, you know, just acknowledging who he is, that he's the source of everything. The plus sign is supposed to represent blessing the communities that we're in, or the people we're close to, and asking God to really help and to bless and to encourage the schools in the locality, the businesses, the other churches, the elderly, etc. And the question mark is always saying, what are you doing that we can join in with? What are the signs of God at work that we can be also part of? And you're the first to hear it, but biblical wine tasting is multiplying. One couple that goes to it having their house extended so they can build a longer table. So in the next door village, they're starting another one. So it's really good. Anyway, so back to Isaiah, rivers in the desert, green things starting. For me, this is one picture of what it might look like. That all over, you've got people talking about Jesus in community after community, but in ways that community can cope with. So if you're on, you know, it could be biblical wine tasting, it could be Messy Plus, it could be community, it could be loads of different things that you've seen. But all those things are part of the church that we lead. They're not, no one's sort of hiding off doing anything different. They understand this is the vision, we're doing this together. And we're encouraging these things to arise in different places to engage with people where they're at. But it needs people like all of us in the room to say, yes, I want to be part of that. That I want to be available to God for whatever he wants of me to see the church grow in different places. And for most of you, I guess that will mean in Carl and Chippenham. It might mean in villages beyond, I don't know. Andy could do with lots of people alongside him in lots of different places where he's been asked to do. I was looking at the map earlier on. I think he needs about 50 volunteers minimum, I think. Something like that. But anyway, but people who will help create and start things and be there for a while and, you know, hand over to the indigenous folks later on. So what could happen from here? What sort of varieties of church could be part of what you're already doing? And what would be each of your individual part in this? And I don't know. I'm not sure, but I know God is doing a new thing, and for me this is it. This is at least part of what I see God doing in the nation at the moment, and I guess my invitation is to think about it. Is this something that you're called to be part of too? And what would that look like for Dayspring? We have chatted this through with the leaders yesterday and before, not talking out of turn. So just, you know, I think we just pray together. And do you want me to mention tonight? Well, I have now, haven't I? It's about Stable to do that. There's one more thing I want to say.
Right, wasn't that brilliant? I wonder which community was your favourite. Imagine biblical wine tastings while up there, isn't it? If that's really excited you, if you think, wow, this is great, I want to find out more, I'd like to understand how maybe it could work in my community or what I could do to join in and things, then there's an opportunity to meet with Pete and Kath this evening, and I guess us from the leadership will be there as well. But we're inviting all of you to come and to continue this conversation and for us to begin to think, how could we rewild the church in Wiltshire, in Chippenham and in Carn and beyond? So if you'd like to join us with that, you're all welcome. It'd be great to see you. We're going to meet 8 o'clock in the side hall. So we'll be here in the hall in the room down the corridor there. And it'd be great to see as many of you as are available for that.
Yes, particularly in the rewilding stuff, there's a lot we've learnt, I think, that I haven't said this morning, but which might help us. So there is more detail behind that if you want to talk about it. I think it's a fantastic thing God's doing, is something that's so topical at the moment in culture, and so necessary at the moment in culture. He's speaking to the church through it. Adam had no idea that people were using the phrase rewilding the church. We'd come across it twice. We were minding our own business on Lindisfarne on holiday, and Adam excitedly texts to say, I went down the bottom of the garden this morning, he'd had a bad day the day before, saw I'd stopped mowing the bottom of my garden, and I'd forgotten completely. So some months later he goes down, this fantastic smell hits him first, and then the sight of grass up to here, and wonderful lot of wildflowers and little bugs all over the wildflowers. And he just had this encounter with God, feeling God said to him, we're to rewild the church. So he texted me, and I'd heard, he had no idea that other people were using the phrase already. So then he got very excited and started a blog site, and then he's done this. But I think it's for all of us. It's just a picture. Anyway, I think I've probably said enough. Just want to pray for you. Do you want to say anything first?
Yeah. Pete and I are very different, mercifully, for the world. So he's always out there. He always has like several visions before breakfast time, and he's always got the big picture stuff, and he's always on to the next thing, and he's got like a big view, like if you like. And but I'm just really ordinary and very practical, and I think God put this together so that some of the ideas he had actually stand some chance of getting of working, because it's actually grounded and actually the actual steps to make it happen because of the way I am, basically. So God did know what he was doing, so it was fantastic. but I've also been lots of places where big picture and big vision is given, and Pete loves that and thrives on it. But I know if I keep hearing that, I just feel like this cold knot in my stomach and think, well, it's all very well, but I've got this, and I can't possibly, you know, see that, do that, make any difference to that at all. But last night when we were with the neighbour, the neighbours, when we were with the lead, the leaders, this humongous great spider started walking across Carol's, Wendy's carpet, towards Wendy, fortunately, not towards Carol, because she was
didn't like it.
Getting worried at that point. But I think it was, I thought of it a bit later on about, and it helped me, so it might help you. So a spider has a web, right? So hang on in there, there is a reason for saying this. So a web can actually cover a large area, big large area. But a web is made up of lots of little bits with knots. I don't know if they are actually knots, but little lumps in the middle of all these big strings, which keep the strings together, I think, like a big net. So without these little nubs or whatever they are, holding the bits together, the big bit, the big picture wouldn't work. The big web wouldn't happen because it's all made of little bits with little nuts together. So for me, I thought, actually, that makes sense to me because I can, what's required of me, maybe for some of you, what you might think, what might be all is required of you, is to be your little knot in the big web of Wiltshire, in the big web of this bit here, and to do what you can do in your little knot bit, which is actually forming part of a bigger picture, much bigger picture. So if you all you need to ask God for is what, you know, who are you? What do you love doing? Where are you living? Who have you got around you? What is an easy thing for you to do because you are you, because of the way you God made you? Is there something that you could do really simply just where you are, in that little bit where you are? And that actually, is, if everybody was doing that, then that enables, if you like, a bigger area, a bigger spider's web, or what bigger area to be reached, because everybody in their own little bit is doing what they can do and what they're able to do. That's awesome.
Great, thank you.
Sorry, I'm not hugely prophetic, but something just sprang out to me right there and then. We took part in Thy Kingdom Come earlier,
yes.
And the picture I got at that time, which I drew up, I think Rosie was actually there when I was drawing the knots and the little webs and everything. I drew that, what you've just described.
Amazing. Good old God. let's pray for the knots in the web as well. Let's start off our praying. Is that right? Okay, well, thank you, God. Thank you that you're just amazing. Thank you for, in a silly thing like a little spider wandering across a carpet, you can actually stir us up and you can help us to understand a tiny bit more of who you are and who we are and what you're asking us to do. So thank you, thank you, thank you, Father God, that you know everything. Thank you that you know who is excited by a big picture and a big vision and huge possibilities and huge things. Thank you. And I pray for each one here who's been stirred up by a vision of a county and being able to change a county for you. So, Father, would you continue to stir those people up? Would you stir up those people who can see big and can see wide and who have big, wide influence in areas, who know people who can affect the big picture and can be part of the big picture of what you're doing in this place? Thank you for each of those people here, and I pray for each of those now that you'd continue to stir them up. You continue to show them the people that they could influence and the breadth of the vision that you're giving them and you're giving this church together. And I pray too for those people who are a bit more like me who can see much more easily the little bits of where they are and what they do and their friends and who they are. And Father, would you help each of those people, please, just to look to you in everything, in a spider crawling across a floor, in a prayer station like Rolf saw it, or wherever and however you talk to us. Would you just help us to have our eyes open and our ears open every day in doing our ordinary everyday things, so we can actually see what you're giving us to do, the people you're giving us to be with. Thank you that you understand. Thank you that it's your mission. Thank you that Wiltshire is your place. Thank you for each of these people who you've put in the right place at the right time. Thank you, Father, for letting us join in with what you're doing. Amen.
Amen. So I just want to repeat, then back to Dave, really. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. Amen. I don't know who's doing this next, but
that's it, guys.
Okay.